Now, research done during last year suggests that Americans are drinking more alcohol during the pandemic. One study conducted in February by the American Psychological Association found that nearly a fourth of adults reported having more alcohol to deal with stress over the last year. That adds to an emerging long-term trend in the U.S. during the last two decades. Recent studies show a rise in both drinking and alcohol-related deaths during that time. A Wisconsin doctor is with us now to talk about the numbers and how to notice excessive drinking in our own lives. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed yourself maybe having more drinks during the pandemic, or have you seen it as a time to take a break from alcohol? Do you have questions about the public health impacts of drinking in the United States? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Randall Brown is an associate professor of family medicine and community health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, where he specializes in substance abuse prevention and treatment. He's the director of the Center for Addictive Disorders at UW Hospital. Dr. Brown, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Big fan of the show. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you with us. Well, are you seeing this in your practice from your colleagues and in the research out there, this increase in drinking?
Absolutely. And more information has been coming out fairly recently, particular to the pandemic that you've alluded to, indicating that roughly one in five adults have fairly significantly increased their drinking during this time. So it isn't necessarily across the board, but there does seem to be a segment of the population where that's happening to a significant degree. And that's been shown, you know, here in the U.S. in studies in Canada, the U.K. and Australia as well, with roughly similar sorts of numbers.
And I've seen some people make the case, okay, sometimes there's a single bad event or a stressful thing at the national level or a personal level, and somebody drinks thinking it's a short-term stress relief. This is a stressful year. This is a problem that keeps on going, where people are maybe taking that one-off event and turning it into a habit. Is that where you are starting to get concerned here?
Well, absolutely, because one of the things that we know about the progression of alcohol use into a use disorder or an addiction is that if alcohol or other substance is specifically being used to assist with coping, it's much more likely for that use to accelerate and to become problematic.
And I do drink alcohol, and I've definitely had those I could use a drink moments at stressful times.
Right.
It turns out, though, like alcohol is actually a really pretty bad way to deal with stress, right? It's just not – in the short term, it might feel good. Medium and long term, not so much.
Right. Well, you know, and that can really be the draw of alcohol as well as other substances. They do act quickly. And in that very short term, they do provide that subjective relief from stress. But, you know, with going back to that and back to that over time, it really can be a downward spiral if that's what it's being used for, you know, as opposed to it being used on occasion and without such a strong motivation behind leaning on it for that stress and anxiety control.
Talking to Dr. Randall Brown, Associate Professor of Family Medicine and Community Health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking about concerns about an increase in alcohol consumption, especially during the pandemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to a caller now. Eli is with us in La Crosse. Eli, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to make the comment that Wisconsin definitely has a far different attitude towards drinking than most other states in the country. My family moved to Wisconsin when I was younger, and the drinking culture in Wisconsin compared to the drinking culture in Kansas is very different. Wisconsin is far more casual about it. Like, Wisconsin casual drinking is basically alcoholism in a lot of other state cultures, and I think the pandemic has given a lot of people time that they wouldn't have spent drinking heavily, and I don't think our state has the resources to help these people out in the long term.
Eli, thanks a lot for the call. Well, Eli gave us a lot to talk about there, Dr. Brown. Let's start with this first point about Wisconsin as a state with a drinking culture. And I've heard this from a lot of friends and colleagues who have moved here, too. Is there something to that?
Absolutely. And that's been the case for a number of years. One of the databases or sources of data we look to a lot is known as the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, and asks tens of thousands of people annually about their habits around alcohol and other substance use. And for many years, Wisconsin has been among the leaders in something that we call binge drinking, meaning that someone is drinking an amount over a course of a few hours that's consistent with achieving a blood alcohol level above the legal limit. The thing that was interesting until fairly recently, within the last 5 years, was though Wisconsin was pretty close to leading the pack in binge drinking, we were pretty close to middle of the road when it came to actual alcohol addiction or an alcohol use disorder. But there's been a bit of a shift in our state in recent years, and we're now in the top 25th percentile for that as well.
And what do we mean by alcohol use disorder? What kind of drinking qualifies there?
Right. Great question, because not everyone who is drinking heavily on a regular basis necessarily meets sort of the clinical or diagnostic criteria for that, for an alcohol use disorder or an alcohol addiction. And what we're really looking for there is consequences that can be related to that alcohol consumption on a repetitive basis over the course of about a year's time. So that alcohol use pattern is resulting in impact on occupation, on relationship with family and friends. They're missing out on other activities that they normally enjoyed in preference for alcohol or due to recovering from the effects of alcohol, continuing to drink despite the fact that they know it's having some negative impact on these things or perhaps on their health. And those are the things we're really talking about when we're thinking about whether or not someone has a use disorder. Are they experiencing negative consequences repeatedly but still having a hard time coming away from it?
Eli also mentioned he's concerned that we don't have the resources to help people who binge drink or have alcohol use disorders or other problems with alcohol. What do we have when it comes to helping people who recognize that they have one of those problems?
Well, I think what most people think of when they think of treatment for an alcohol problem or the more traditional specialist alcohol and drug treatment facilities, perhaps residential 28-day programs and outpatient counseling. And you know, there can be some challenges with some of those in that people, depending on their geographic location or their insurance status or socioeconomics, may not have immediate access to something like that. So that can be a challenge depending on some of those factors. One of the things I like to emphasize, though, is that primary care providers can be involved in this treatment as well. There are FDA-approved medications that can be used to reduce a person's craving for alcohol, use of alcohol, and consequences, and brief counseling can happen in those settings. That can be helpful as well. So there are those potential resources that are perhaps more widely available to people that are struggling that can be accessed as well.
We're talking to Dr. Randall Brown, professor in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, director of UW Hospital's Center for Addictive Disorders. We're looking at a rise in drinking during the pandemic, adding to long-term trends we were already seeing, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had a point in your life where you recognized your drinking was too heavy? Have you seen yourself drinking more during the pandemic? Do you have thoughts on Wisconsin's drinking culture? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk now with Dr. Randall Brown, expert in substance abuse disorders at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at a rise in alcohol use over the last year. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your own experiences or maybe the people around you. Are you seeing more drinking going on around you during the pandemic? Have you had a problem in your past? How did you tackle it? And do you have questions for our guest about alcohol and public health? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. And Dr. Brown, we've seen a lot of our regular activities, of course, disrupted. The kind of social support things we might do, gathering in person with other people. Do you see that as a risk factor for problem drinking over this last year?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been one of the factors that some of these studies during the course of the pandemic have identified as being linked to some of the increased risk with individuals, again, about one in five adults escalating their drinking to potentially harmful levels has been that isolation and stress related to it. So that's likely been a contributor to some of this.
If someone sees a friend or family member drinking more than usual, maybe at a point where they're getting concerned about it, are there good ways to reach out to them and suggest maybe they need some kind of help without triggering what they might expect, a defensive response?
Well, that can be a fine line to walk. But I think coming at that from a place of concern and expressing concern and generally giving fairly specific examples. So rather than saying I'm concerned about your pattern of consumption in general, really trying to give some specific reasons, specific occasions where that happened and why you were concerned about it. If someone is going to go down the path of recovery, ideally with conversation like that, planting those seeds, they can arrive at that decision on their own, because it can be, you know, fairly difficult to move someone from, you know, feeling like, no, I clearly don't have a problem to, yes, I need help and I'm going to get that right now over the course of a conversation or two, you know, and it's something that often needs to take place over time, but with that consistent expression, again, out of a spirit of concern and offers of support, and perhaps directing them to resource or helping them find it when they're in that place.
Go back to our callers now. Joel is with us in La Crosse. Joel, hello.
Hi there. I was just calling to say I didn't start drinking until I was an adult and joined the police force. And it was kind of the intersection of socializing and Wisconsin culture coming together. And it took about a year of, you know, regular drinking and realizing I didn't like the way that made me feel. And so I just stopped on my own. The good thing was my social network was kind of built in, so I didn't necessarily lose that from not drinking.
Yeah, Joel, you brought up something I'm really curious about. You mentioned drinking was a way to socializing, maybe with your new coworkers on the force. Do you feel like you were still able to hang out with your colleagues even when you stopped drinking after that first year?
Yeah, I think people respected my decision to do that as a personal choice, and they pretty quickly kind of joked about me being the Diet Dew guy, and then they just started getting rounds, and they would just bring me back a Diet Dew, and it wasn't a big deal, so it was good.
That's a great story, Joel. Thank you so much for sharing it. And Dr. Brown, that's encouraging, because I think we often connect in Wisconsin drinking to our socializing and might fear that we would lose it if we stopped drinking. Joel says it doesn't have to go that way.
Absolutely. And that's a wonderful story. And glad that Joel called in with that, because that really can be one of the major challenges, you know, beyond a pattern of substance use being established, the social network and the pattern that someone has established by way of the activities in which the alcohol consumption is occurring can be a difficult pattern to break out of. And really appreciated the caller, you know, calling that out and advocating for himself and discussing it in that social setting, because that can be what it takes and takes some courage.
Thanks a lot for that call, Joel. We heard from Katie in Eau Claire, who wonders if problem drinking more is related to drinking at home versus drinking out at a bar or social settings. I could see that going either way, Dr. Brown. Do we know?
Well, you know, there are a couple layers to that question, because honestly, you know, when we think about the harms that alcohol causes or facilitates, you know, alcohol use costs the United States around $300 billion annually, but about three quarters of that cost is due to patterns of alcohol use that fall short of that alcohol use disorder or addiction and are more related to that misuse or the binge drinking in terms of, you know, traumatic injury, motor vehicle accidents, resulting losses in productivity, criminal justice costs, and things along those lines. So when we're talking about, you know, harms related to alcohol and health effects, it's important to keep that set of considerations in mind. You know, it isn't just about whether or not someone is addicted to alcohol. It's that these other patterns of social drinking that frequently happen when people are out at bars, you know, are no less important in terms of the overall population health impact and what we call the secondhand impact that alcohol can have in terms of causing injury to others.
We'll leave it there, Dr. Brown. Sorry, you can add one more quick thing.
Right. So I think it has the isolated drinking, you know, I think it depends a little more, again, on some of the circumstances under which that's happening. And again, using for anxiety control can be a prime driver of greater problems developing later.
Dr. Brown, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much. Really enjoyed my time.
That's Dr. Randall Brown, professor of family medicine and community health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us to talk about alcohol use during the pandemic and a long-term rise in drinking by Americans over the last couple of decades.